Are you looking for resources that will allow you to share and celebrate the beauty and brilliance of Black history, Black present, and Black future? Are you looking for resources that you can easily connect to your curriculum content? I've got you covered. Head to my teacher shop. Go to customteachingsolutions.com/shop. You will see a wide range of resources that will allow you to truly bring diverse perspectives that will enrich the learning experience for all of your students.
For educators on a mission to create welcoming and culturally inclusive learning spaces by prioritizing equity, the Culture-Centered Classroom Podcast is for you. I'm Jocelyn Hubbard, host of this podcast, but also your partner and coach on this journey. I created this podcast to support you each week by sharing information and inspiration for implementation. All right, let's jump into this episode so we can get closer to accomplishing this mission that supports every student every day.
Today's topic is Black History Month. I'm wearing one of my favorite Black History Month sweatshirts. It says Lift Every Voice, and that is based off of the song Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is also known as the Black National Anthem. If you are not familiar with this song, I do actually have this song where I sung it. I sung this song and it's on my Instagram highlight. So if you're not following me on Instagram, you can head over there and see me singing the Black National Anthem. I also have a resource that teachers can use to teach their students about the Black National Anthem and also the Star Spangled Banner. And so really just talking about national anthems, why do we have them? How do they, you know, represent whatever the people group or the country stands for? How do they elicit joy and pride and all those good things? So anyway, today's topic is Black History Month. With Black History Month right around the corner, I wanted to share three questions I frequently get regarding teaching and celebrating Black history, as well as my responses to those questions. So let me know if any of the things I'm sharing with you today are helpful. You can send me a message on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. And if you have a question, in addition to the ones that I'm sharing here, you can let me know that as well. All right, cheers to lifelong learning, sharing, and growing together. Let's jump in. So the first question that I'm going to share that I get asked is, how can I keep Black history content connected to my curriculum content? And I love this question because there is a quote that I absolutely love, and I honestly cannot remember if Dr. Gloria Ladson-Billings said this or Zaretta Hammond. So if you know, put it in the comments for me, please. Don't think I'm sus. I really do know my thing. Okay. But the quote is, all curriculum is culturally responsive. The question is, to whose culture is it responding? Have you heard this quote before? Let me say it one more time. All curriculum is culturally responsive. The question is, to whose culture is it responding? So when you're asking me this question of like, how do I keep Black history connected to my curriculum content? My first response back to you and is a question. Have you looked at your curriculum through the lens of whose culture it's already responding to? Because the reality is it is already responding to someone's culture. And now, you know, when I say culture, I don't just mean Black and white. That is a very limited view of culture. So, whose culture is it responding to? This is a great opportunity to expand and elevate and really diversify the response of your curriculum. Because the reality is this, right? Black History Month started off as Black History Week. Carter G. Woodson was like, oh my gosh, this is something that we really want to do. We really want to celebrate the legacy and the richness of intellect and innovation in the Black community. We want to share this for generations to come. And then it turned into Black History Month. But this is a jumping off point. This is just the beginning. This is a time and a space where you can get inspiration and ideas for celebrating and sharing about Black history, Black present, and Black future all year long. So take your curriculum out, look at it, and ask yourself, okay, whose culture is my curriculum already responsive to? If you're an English teacher, am I reading books that are windows, mirrors, and sliding glass doors for a variety of students, a diverse set of students? And again, I don't just mean black and white. Okay, I'm talking about generational diversity. I'm talking about socioeconomic diversity. I am talking about racial and ethnic diversity. I'm talking about religious diversity. I'm talking about diversity of love languages, personality styles. All of that is diversity. And when we have diverse representation of perspectives and people groups and joy and beauty, it really enriches the learning experience for all of our students. So how can you audit your curriculum through a cultural and equity lens so that it becomes more responsive, so that it meets the needs of more students? And now I do want to pull in a quote that is from Zaretta Hammond. It's from her book, Culturally Responsive Teaching in the Brain, on page 22. She says, culture, it turns out, is the way that every brain Culture, it turns out, is the way that every brain makes sense of the world. That is why everyone, regardless of race or ethnicity, has a culture. Think of culture as software for the brain's hardware. The brain uses cultural information to turn everyday happenings into meaningful events. Our brain is literally using our culture to make sense of the world. These are our lenses. It's our perspective. We're putting on our lenses and we view the world through our lived experiences. That's your culture. So again, when you have diverse perspectives and people groups and celebrations and all those things as a part of your curriculum all year long, you are going to, by nature, elicit curiosity and inspire courageous and brave conversations in your classroom. Now, and this is about not just about language arts classes. This is about math too. We should be having discussions in our math classrooms, right? We should be having discussions, rich, robust conversations around all of these different perspectives and ideas, theories, and allow our students to be rewarded for asking brave, critical, curious questions. Not just responding in a way that they think you want them to respond. So my answer, that was kind of long, but how do you keep Black history connected to your curriculum content? Well, first you step back and you look at your curriculum and you say, it's already being responsive to somebody's culture. Who is it? How can I then take the time to weave in aspects of Black culture? And this leads into the next question that I get asked, which is, how can I get more comfortable teaching about and celebrating Black history? And my answer is to develop cultural competence. Cultural competence is all about discovering and being more aware of the beautiful and broken pieces of your story. So thinking about who you are, why you behave the way that you behave. Why do you have certain beliefs? Because I think for myself, I'll just raise my hand, for a long time, I would just do certain things because that's what I was told to do. Right. My parents would be like, because I said so. And so I did it because I wasn't trying to suffer the consequences or whatever. But as a full adult, I need to step back and really analyze and really think about, why do I believe what I believe? Why do I behave the way that I behave? What is it that is inspiring these things? What are the lived experiences that have impacted my thought patterns, my habits, and then impact the actions that I take? So cultural competence is allowing me to get to know who I am and to think about the lived experiences that I have that are connected to Black history, Black present, and Black future. And that's regardless of race, because the majority of teachers are not Black, right? So how can you think about your own lived experiences and how were those connected to or disconnected from? What were the narratives that you were being taught? What was being shared with you about Black history, Black culture, Black people, Black experiences? And so when you become aware of that, then you can start to say, okay, where are the things that I need to unlearn? What are some of the things that I need to learn? Who do I need to be connected with so that I can learn? And I will just say that it's not just about learning about yourself, right? Because now you see where some of the gaps are. Or maybe you even see where some of the things that are truly amazing and you need to amplify are, but the next step is learning about other cultures, being curious, becoming fluent in another culture. That's cultural competence. And so when you're thinking about becoming comfortable teaching about and celebrating Black history, I want you to ask yourself, why are you uncomfortable in that space? Maybe you don't feel knowledgeable enough. And look, this is a no judgment zone, okay? Zero judgment, because there are plenty that I don't know. But in order to solve a problem, I have to admit that there is a problem, right? In order to learn the thing, I have to admit that I don't know the thing. And I read a quote today. Ooh, I wish I had that book on me. I read a quote in the book, the 12 week year. And the quote in that book said that the quote said something about like what you do after you've learned all the things, or what you learn after you learn everything is what's most important. I'll make sure that I link to that quote in the show notes, because it made me stop and made me say, yep. Because how many times do we think that we know all the things? We've done all the learning, okay? Well, we haven't, because no one has. Getting more comfortable is developing cultural competence. And honestly, like, that is a process. It's an ongoing process. I myself have several cohorts for teachers, instructional coaches, and school leaders where I am specifically spending time helping them to develop cultural competency so that they can get a deeper understanding of equity and then prioritize that in everything that they are doing, really operating through an equity lens, so that we can create these liberatory learning spaces where our students and our teachers have freedom to explore and discover and innovate and iterate. Because honestly, right, the goal of education is not to create robots and to not just be like, oh, be compliant. It is to discover and do so many other things. But that's another TED Talk for another day. Okay. Those are two things that will help you to become more comfortable, is to develop cultural competency, but to really get into community with people, to become aware of and intentional about seeking out resources so that you can do your learning and really understand how your story is connected to, because Black history is American history. And so understanding all of that and how we are all connected, how the salad bowl becomes much more beautiful when there are a multitude of colors, right? We don't just want lettuce. We also want tomatoes maybe, or we want some cheddar cheese or some other thing. So how do you become comfortable in that space? Developing cultural competency is going to be the first step. Now, the third question and the final question that I'm going to share on today's episode is, how do I address community pushback? How do I address community pushback? Because that is one of the things that teachers, instructional coaches, and school leaders are facing, hands down, now more than they have in a very long time, since it was like the civil rights time. And when we're talking about segregation, desegregation, Jim Crow, where it was like very blatant and obvious, but now these things are circling back around. And this is a question I get all the time during coaching sessions. Jocelyn, how do we address community pushback? Here's my answer. First is to think about how you are positioned in the community. Are you a part of the community? And when I say a part of, I don't just mean like, oh yeah, I grew up there. I grew up in the community. Cool. Even though you grew up in the community, you might not have been connected to every single aspect of the community. I think about my undergraduate experience. I went to Miami University. I was very well connected at Miami, but I wasn't connected to every community. And so there was always more to learn about the people that were there and the experiences that they were having. I love going back to alumni events because we get to talk about and share the different experiences that we had, even though we were all a part of the same community, quote unquote, at Miami University. So how are you connected in the community? I would encourage you to connect in spaces that you are not necessarily traditionally connected to. So I share this a lot, but when I first started teaching, I taught in Red Springs, North Carolina, which is a very small town. I really enjoyed teaching there. The majority of the people in that town are members of the Lumbee Native American tribe. And before I moved to that area, I had never heard of the Lumbee Native American tribe. So there were a lot of things that I needed to learn about, places that I needed to be, to put myself, conversations I needed to have in order to become a part of the community. Some places I wouldn't traditionally find myself. Not bad places, just different places, so that I could connect with my students in a different way. Okay, so that's my first piece of advice. Think about how you are positioned in the community. What parts of the community are you traditionally connected to? Find the spaces that you're not traditionally connected and get plugged in authentically, not just to like, you know, just to be there, because people can, they can see your intentions in your heart. The next thing that I would encourage is for you to be very clear on the why behind your what. Why are you wanting to teach and celebrate Black history? You got to be real clear on that. And that goes back to one of the answers to the first question that I shared, which was that incorporating diverse perspectives enriches the learning experience for all of our students. So if we are truly creating a school community and a classroom community, then we want to create a space where all of our students feel seen and celebrated in an effort to normalize their experiences. They shouldn't have to just be like, oh my gosh, miss, why am I learning these things? Because I don't see my people. I don't see my history. I don't know if I even see my future here. The reason why we are teaching Black history, and let's think about some of the other heritage months and highlight months that we highlight different people groups and different situations and experiences, it's because we are trying to normalize the experiences of the students that are around us so that they don't just look at the textbook and say, I don't see myself. So do I fit into this story? Can I be this? Having a really clear why behind what you are doing and showing that what you are doing, the things you are teaching is connected to the curriculum. There are ways to connect all of these things that we are talking about related to Black History Month to every single subject area. I have so many friends that are specifically in the math space. And I'll make sure that I link to several resources in the show notes, because I have so many friends that are specifically connected in the math space who are highlighting Black mathematicians. They've got bulletin boards. They've got math problems that are inspired by. They have podcast episodes where they are talking about Black mathematicians. I have friends that are connected in science. And so they are talking about Black biologists and chemists and engineers. And there are so many ways to make sure that we are not just highlighting, you know, old white men, because there's more. There's more. We've all played a part in creating this dynamic country. This is really an opportunity for moments of celebration and joy throughout the school year to make the school a place that the students want to come. We want to build in that motivation for the students beyond just like, I'm here because I have to. Because my parent, my grandmother, my auntie, whoever told me I have to be here. But we want to make this a community, not just a place of learning. Because honestly, when you're in the community, it naturally becomes this place where learning is happening. So we want it to become a place where we are infusing joy constantly, joyful celebrations. And that is what is going to allow us to transform the educational environment into a vibrant and inclusive space where everyone feels connected and they feel valued and they want to learn. So this goes beyond just this like conventional perception of a school and it's solely just being this learning hub. School is so much more because our students spend the majority of their day there. It should be community-centered, student-centered. And then you're going to see that there is increased motivation for being there, increased academic performance. There's going to be increased retention of the information that they are learning because they see themselves in the curriculum. And we're centering joy because, baby, listen, yes, there is definitely time for us to share about oppression and racism and the struggle because it's real. But I tell you what, there's that saying that says you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. We want our students to want to learn, to want to ask the curious, critical questions. And so let's start with joy. Let's bring them in with the celebration. And then we can balance that out and say, yeah, sometimes that celebration comes from a struggle that you have just overcome. And they'll be like, okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And how can I be a part of this ongoing legacy? Ooh, I'm so excited to hear more about your thoughts. I hope that me sharing these questions was helpful as you are preparing to celebrate, to share, to teach about Black history. I hope that these answers and these responses were helpful as you are navigating this space. I am always here to support you on this journey. You know, I say it all the time, but I am partnering with you on this journey. There are ways that I can support you that you may not be aware of. So let me let you know that reaching out to me via Instagram, via LinkedIn, via Facebook is a great first step. But if you are really ready to dive in and explore how your curriculum can be responsive to the needs of the students that are sitting in front of you, how you can develop and elevate your teaching experience, your knowledge, your ability, then, you know, then let's talk, because I think it's time for you to jump into one of the cohorts. Now, registration is not open currently, but you can always join one of the wait lists for the teacher cohort, the instructional coach cohort, or the leadership cohort. Until I talk with you again next week, please remember to keep seeking joy, affirming culture, prioritizing equity, celebrating diversity, and striving for liberation through learning every single day. Black History Month is right around the corner. Head to customteachingsolutions.com/shop to grab all the teaching resources you need to share about the beauty and brilliance of Black history, Black present, and Black future.